It's not about being right. It's about being right against you.
And welcome back to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. And for today's Radio DMG, we're going to go with, well, content. What is the content? I'm just going to let you find out. Because I'm trying to get these things out as quick as I can, ladies and gentlemen. As quick as I can. So busy. So busy.
Welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at NondeskCon 2014 with
Lauren Landa.
So, just in case our listeners are unfamiliar with who you are and what you do, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I in this life? Who am I? We never
Very know. Deep question.
Very deep question. Now, I'm a voice actress for anime and video games. Some of the roles that I've done are Kasumi from Dead or Alive 5, Leia from Tales of Exilia, Annie in Attack on Titan, Lai Chi Fei Ling in the Blaze Blue franchise, Yanlei Shen Soul Calibur 5, Squiggly and Skullgirls, and a ton of others.
Mm-hmm. So, how did you get started in voice acting?
I'd always been interested in acting my whole life, and when I got to college, I took a voice and diction class. A friend of mine said, hey, you should try doing this professionally. So took a workshop, ended up meeting Tony Oliver, and he put me on an auditioning list, and there you go.
He seems to, Tony Oliver seems to be behind quite a bit of voice actors that we've interviewed.
Well, he's a, yes, very much
very
so.
Prolific.
He's been around for a while, and he tends to try and bring in as much talent as he can, so...
Before the voice acting stuff, were you interested in theater or any other items growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Theater was a big part of my life growing up. Regular theater, musical theater, and that was a big part of my life. And I also was an anime fan growing up, so that added to it as well.
What's your earliest memory of working in theater?
My earliest memory would probably be the stage production of Annie in, I think I was about 11 years old. Well, that's for a play that anybody would know about. Before that, it was just little school plays that nobody would ever have heard about. But other than that, probably Annie, school production of Annie, which to this day, I am sick of that show because I was in it for so long.
So not looking forward to the movie?
Oh, that movie. I saw the preview for that. And first off, I find it interesting that they replaced... what is the lyric? I think the lyric is... no one cares for you, a kid, when you live in an orphanage or when you're from an orphanage or something like that. But instead, the new lyric is, no one cares for you, a kid, when you are a foster kid.
Hmm.
So they changed the lyric. Because I guess they don't use the term orphanage anymore. I think they... say group homes or family homes or foster homes. So.
Kind of a sensitivity thing. I've noticed that with like Disney's Meet the Robinsons or Despicable Me. Mm-hmm. They don't, even though Despicable Me is making fun of those, they don't refer to it Like, they try not to refer to it by that.
As an orphanage. Yeah, I guess it's just a depressing term. But I'm honestly not really sure if I'm going to see the new Annie or not. I do love Jamie Foxx. I think Jamie Foxx is very talented. I think, Cameron Diaz. I think Cameron Diaz as Miss Hannigan is an interesting casting choice. I think the little girl's adorable, though. So maybe I'll see it for her just to see how well she does. Yeah. So
did you have any onstage points at that in that first production of Annie?
Oh no, I was just one of the orphans. I was just one of the orphans in the background, but it was a lot of fun. It's just when you've been in a show for so long, you tend to get a little sick of it.
I've done theater work. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, it's very
true. Amazing the things you can get sick of.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like Little Shop of
so.
Horrors, for example.
You know, I love that show, but I can understand how that would get very tiring.
Oh yes.
Yes.
So Aside from the theater, if you weren't doing voice acting, what do you think you would be doing?
You know, for a long time, I actually wanted to be a therapist, a family therapist or marriage therapist for marriage and family.
And marriage counseling?
Marriage and counseling, yeah, definitely. I've always had an interest in, I don't know, in seeking help, or not seeking help, but giving help to those who are seeking it. And I tend to like to lend my shoulder to people, as they would say. I've always enjoyed doing that, and I do try and help as many people as I can if they have an issue, and if they come to me and if they say, well, I'm having an issue with this, I try and give them the best advice that I can and just try and help them out with that. That's something that I've always had an interest in, so definitely therapy or counseling of some sort.
So was that your major in college?
No, actually, my major in college was a mixture of stuff. Arts and sciences, which is what I got my AA in. And then I also was majoring in theater arts and also somewhat of a communications major as well. Mm. So
like journalism and broadcast?
Something along those lines. Communications is a big part of the entertainment industry, so I basically had an interest in pursuing that.
That's it's an interesting field to be in.
Very much
honestly.
So, yeah. Well, I figured, you know, I like to talk, I like to do research. I know that whenever I watch a movie, for example, if it's a docudrama or if it's based on a true story, I know that I am on the internet looking it up to seeing what's true, what's not true, what's accurate, what's not accurate. So definitely I think journalism would probably be an interesting route to go as well.
You mentioned that you've worked on both video games and anime.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time that means that you've worked in both Texas and LA.
True.
What is your opinion of the differences between working in Texas, a right-to-work state, and then working in L.A., which is mostly a union state?
Well, I have worked very few union projects in L.A. so far. Most of the projects that I have worked on are non-union, with the exception of a few. However, in Texas, Texas is just very easy. L.A., it's pretty easy, too. But as far as the recording process goes, there's really no big difference. Some days are a little longer in Texas, I've come to notice, than this is just my experience personally. You know, in Texas, we can do 8-hour days. In LA, we'll do maybe about 4 hours, probably, for an anime or video game, depending on how big the project is, depending how big the character is, and depending on how long the project will go for. So,
do you have a preference between working the longer hours or working the shorter hours in that?
Well, I guess you honestly have to think of it as a regular job. Let's say you work at a bakery. Would you like to work a shorter shift in a bakery, or would you like to work the longer shift in the bakery?
Depends on how good the bakery
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And it also depends on how much you scream, how much you yell. For me personally, if it's just me talking and not yelling a lot, then I don't care if it's a longer session. If it tends to have a lot of screaming in it, like for a video game, for example, then I do prefer the shorter sessions, just because yelling and screaming for 4 hours is incredibly exhausting.
I would imagine.
Yeah, most of the time after a video game session, I am pretty beat, so.
Going back to these You're mentioning that growing up you had a lot of theater and musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
if you don't mind me asking, was that something your family pursued for you, or was this something you personally pursued?
You know, it's a mixture of both. The main passion came from me because I think my earliest memory is I went to see a production of Oliver, which is based off of the novel Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens, and it's one of my favorite musicals. And I went to see it with my parents, and I fell in love with the stage. I fell in love with the performers being able to be completely different people. I just fell in love with the idea of it. But on my mother's side, there are many women in my family that were entertainers growing up, and they wanted to be actresses, but they pursued different careers. I think I'm the only one that went through with it. So it's a mixture of both.
And kind of an offshoot of that question there, what is your favorite song on Oliver?
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, there's a couple. One of my favorite is Pick a Pocket or Two. That's definitely my first favorite. Consider Yourself is one of my favorite songs. It's actually not.
That one had horrible choreography.
You Gotta Pick a Pocket or Two is my first favorite. I like Oom Papa. I think Oom Papa is a lot of fun. I think my other favorite would be As Long as He Needs Me. I think that's an incredibly beautiful but tragic song. And actually, I would have loved to have played Nancy on the stage. So maybe that'll happen one day. Maybe it won't. But I would have loved to have played her. She's one of my dream stage roles, I guess you could say.
Are there any current Broadway or off-Broadway productions that you'd be interested in that you haven't been able to try out for because of, well, time constraints? I mean, honestly, with all those things, is there anything that's currently out there that you would have loved to have been a part of?
Well, Oliver is definitely one of them. That's definitely a goal of mine, to be a part of Oliver. I personally, it's never going to happen because I can't roller skate, but Starlight Express is also another great show. I am a Weber fan. I know a lot of people don't like Weber. It's half and half. Some people do, some people don't like Weber. I like Weber, but Starlight Express is definitely one of those. Oh gosh, what other stage productions? Well, I'm also a huge Shakespeare fan as well. And my two favorite Shakespeare plays are Romeo and Juliet and Taming of the Shrew. So I would love to be a part of that. I'm sorry, I take that back. The second favorite is Twelfth Night, not Taming of the Shrew. Take that back. Mm. I'm getting the thumbs up, so I'm assuming that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But amongst musical theater, I'm trying to... There's so many good ones. Let's see. Phantom of the Opera is a good one. I've never seen Hair, so I can't say Hair. Wicked is a great musical. I did love Wicked. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that I'd like to be
with the roller skate thing. Mm-hmm. You can't roller skate, I guess.
Yeah.
That kind of takes Xanadu out of there.
You know what? I've never seen Xanadu. Oh. I never had an interest in seeing it. Olivia Newton-John, as beautiful and as talented as she is, she never really interested me enough to see Xanadu. I mean, Grease is fun. Loved Grease. But Xanadu just never... I never had an interest in seeing it. So...
You were talking about how you wanted to possibly work with counseling and stuff before. Are you currently helping or promoting any charities?
Not at the moment. I honestly don't really know where to look for charities unless somebody tells me about it. I know recently I was at MedSuriCon where we raised, I think about... I could be getting the number wrong, but I think we raised about $13,000 for charity for fighting against cancer, which I was very supportive of. But I'm really supportive of any charity that does any good. So any charity I will definitely support. But at the moment, not that I know of.
Well, speaking of conventions, what do you think so far of NDK this year?
NDK, well, see, this is a convention that I look forward to coming to every single year. And I am so surprised that they are not sick of me yet. But every time I leave NDK, I truly hope that I will be back the next year, because it's seriously one of my favorite conventions, if not my favorite convention. But I can tell you that I had a panel last night, which I was not expecting to have a big turnout, because it was from 9 to 10. It was a great turnout. We had an absolute blast. The kids were asking great questions. We were just having a lot of fun, and it was just great. It was an awesome start for the weekend, and I was very, very happy with how it went. So I'm having a blast so far.
So a lot of good energy.
Lots
of good energy.
Yeah, a lot of good energy. And that is so important, especially when you start off the weekend, you know, because I do a lot of conventions. And the best way to start it off is with good energy and to have fun. Instead of starting it off, let's get started. You know, it's much better to have a lot of good, enthusiastic energy.
Not the going through the paces types.
Exactly. And this, I'm so excited, because it was just a great turnout yesterday and awesome start.
Now, this leads us to a question we always ask, and it gets some pretty interesting answers. One thing we've noticed at these conventions is there is that energy. Mm. People just bring in that positive energy that's just, people are just radiant at conventions. However, sometimes a lot of people, when they get out of the convention, they lose that radiance and that energy. It just, when they go back to the normal humdrum of everyday life, mm-hmm. At school or at work or so, they just, all that convention energy, all that positivity just kind of drains away.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions for how people can keep that energy, keep that fire and light from their convention experience with them when they leave?
I think that's a fantastic thing to point out, because every time I go to a convention, I will always pass a couple of kids that will say, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go home. And, you know, it's kind of the same for a lot of the guests. You know, we have a blast as well. But something that I would recommend is just keep looking for whatever you find at conventions closer to where you live, closer to your home. Maybe start a club. Maybe start a weekly thing with your friends, you know, like an anime night or a movie night or something. Or when you meet people at conventions, exchange info. Be safe, but exchange info and meet up outside the convention and have fun with that. Just continue it on, you know, like go through life, continue to go back to your life, but you could still continue to have fun just as much as you do at conventions. But I think that's my first recommendation is basically, you know, meet new people when you come to conventions, stay in touch, and start adding things to your regular life that are like conventional things. You know, as I said, anime nights, movie nights, game nights, whichever, you know, something that adds that positivity, something that brings back those good memories that you had at the convention.
Because it can be kind of a bit rough for people to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially if they're a little shy or a little introverted. But if you want to continue to feel good, and if you want to continue to have as much fun as you do at conventions, you know, throughout your regular life, regular day life, whatever, you got to kind of step out of your shell a little bit just to meet new people. So.
And going back to that just for a little bit, sometimes one big topic that comes up a lot at conventions, and it's come up a lot in the last most recent years, is the subject of bullying. Mm. A lot of people who do go to conventions may be victims of that in their daily life. Mm. Do you have any suggestions on how they can handle that?
You know, I actually, this came up in my panel last night. It's easier said than done. I realize that because, you know, growing up, I was bullied by some people, so I totally get that it's not easy to deal with. The best thing that you can possibly do is try and find your inner strength and try to not fight people, but fight against the bullying, mentally and emotionally. That's the best thing that you can do, and if you conquer it, then you will feel incredibly strong. And that is the best thing you can do for yourself. As I said, that is way easier said than done. It's not easy to ignore somebody when they're bullying you, especially if it's cyberbullying. Mm. Cyberbullying has gone to a completely different level that I think is just ridiculous at this point. But in my opinion, cyberbullying comes from people that may or may not say it to you in person, so you know they have they can put it as an anonymous comment online. So it's, you know, it goes either way. But to deal with bullying, I think definitely here, I don't think there's a lot of bullying at conventions as far as I know. But to deal with it outside of the convention scene, it really, you just have to try and find your inner confidence. You have to try and be strong against the bullying. And it's, again, I say this and I'm repeating myself, I know that it's easier said than done. It is not easy to try and find your inner strength because we don't know that we have it sometimes. But if somebody is harassing you, if somebody is trying to pick a fight with you, whether it's emotionally, mentally, or physically, the best thing you can do is try and not ignore it, but just know that you are better than that. You are better than to succumb to that bullying. You are better than the person who is bullying you. Just remember that. And there's many, many different ways, but also find support in your family and friends. And I understand that sometimes you may not find the best support, but if you can't find the best support from the people in your life, go look for new people who can give you better support, because support is something that is essential in those kind of things. So just try and be strong and know that bullying is what people do when either they are not happy with their lives or they just like to make other people miserable. Well, just know that if you are happy and if you let them know that it's not getting to you, or if you just don't care, if you just don't let it get to you, that's not going to make them happy. They're going to kind of be bummed that they're not getting to you. So the best thing you can do is just try and be strong and ignore it and just fight against it mentally and emotionally. So.
And on a happier note,
yeah.
Yes. Is there anything you'd like to promote that you're currently in or working on?
Well, unfortunately, I can't talk about anything that I'm currently working on, but I'm very excited about Tales of Exilia 2 that just came out in July, I believe. I think August. No, I'm sorry. August or July. I think August. Tales of Exilia 2, and a lot of people have been telling me that they've been enjoying that. Excuse me. I've also heard a lot of great feedback on Attack on Titan, so I'm very excited about that. I can honestly say that after I was cast in Titan, I saw the show, I fell in love with the show, I am a huge fan of the show, so I really, really hope that the fans love what we've done with that, because we truly, the entire cast loves this show, they think it's awesome, and we all love this show. So I really hope that everybody's happy with it. Also, part two, box set part two of Attack on Titan is coming out September 23rd, I believe, which is a Tuesday? I'm not entirely sure of the exact date. September 23rd, part two, box set two of Attack on Titan first season is going to be coming out September 23rd. So yay, go buy it.
And thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. This has been Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth with Radio DMG, and I'm here with
Lauren Landa.
And we are here at NondesCon 2014.
Woo!
And good night.
And that's our show for today. I know it's a little bit short, but we're trying to work on the production side of these things and to get them out quicker for you, our beloved listeners. So make sure you stick here to RadioDMG.com for more audio content. We've got Radio DMG. We have Pocket Newsity stuff coming up. We have Musical Rations, and we have other shows which will be making their debut here on RadioDMG.com. Also check out AreaDMG.com for Radio DMG Rewind, where we take selected interviews and we pop them up onto the YouTubes for you to view, I suppose. Well, that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and you are now caught up.